as Jennifer's doing the little boot scoot and boogie, two-step across the living room floor, you're invited to my house, right here at Rosie on the House. It's a little music from my homeland, South Louisiana. Dance halls all over the state, Friday and Saturday night, light up with this kind of music. You watch those experienced Cajun dancers and their heads never move. It's just like they're gliding on ice. It's absolutely magical to watch. I've never been able to master it, but I do love to watch it. And I love the music. Come on into my house, y'all. It's Rosie on the House. And we've certainly covered a lot of ground here in this morning's program. Thank you for tuning in. If you're a regular subscriber to our newsletter, and you do that by simply logging on to our website, rosieonthehouse.com, and ask to be added to the subscription list. We actually mail out tens of thousands of emails every week. And part of what we send out is unique information that you can't get anywhere else. It tips you off as to what we're going to be covering on that Saturday show. So in case it happens to be a topic that you're currently contemplating or mulling over or thinking about, then that would automatically key you off, set your alarm. Don't miss the show. In the 10 o'clock hour, we will be covering the topic that we bring up in that particular newsletter. And I'll come clean. This is a topic that I'm certainly not considered an expert on, but it is extremely intriguing to me, and it's integrated pest management. It's managing the pests around your house chemical-free. But before we go there, I feel like I have to take y'all back to next week. To last week.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Next week. You have to take us back to next week.
Did I say that?
That's what I heard.
The general consensus is that's when I said that. Okay. I want to take y'all back to last week. Got that straight? They're dizzy now.
It's called deja vu.
Oh, yeah.
And it works because the entire month of February, we're talking about pest control. And pests cover everything up from big four-legged animals with horns and the high country down to the smallest of aphids and gnats.
That's right.
It bug you at dawn and get in your eyes. And
last week, we had Darren Julian on, which is the urban wildlife specialist for Arizona Game and Fish. When we have a rattlesnake in the backyard, a herd of javelina invading the front yard, mule deer eating our apple trees, elk nibbling on our apple trees, bears wandering through our neighborhood, Darren is the one that gets the call and decides how it needs to be addressed. He tries to direct you to their website. There's a lot of rules and instructions there about what you can or can't do with a marauding urban wildlife. This week, are any of y'all signed on to that website called Nextdoor? Any of y'all? Nobody. No, I'm the only one. It's Nextdoor. And it is a communication board for people just in your neighborhood to talk about what's going on. It was there that I found out that in our neighborhood, cars parked outside of the garage and the driveways were getting broken into. And you could actually track by day where the pattern was going. And if you were in the route of these people, and it ended up being a couple, they ended up finding out it was a couple kids in the neighborhood that were, you know, getting what they could out of cars that were parked outside the garages in the driveways. Well, the other thing it kind of fills you in on is someone posted one word, bobcat, and took a picture of this bobcat on top of a masonry wall looking down at a chicken coop with 11 chickens in it. And I'm sorry to report, there were no surviving chickens. But that's exactly the topic we covered last week, the marauding wildlife. We're in their habitat. We've occupied their spaces. So we've got to learn to live with them. I walked in. I got a call. Actually, we're doing a remodel project, and the woman of the house, her sister called me and said, would you come out to the Usury Pass area to do a remodel? I said, well, I'll come out and I'll visit with you. Let's take a look at it. And their house is in the neighborhood of McKellops and Ellsworth, not an area I'm intimately familiar with. We don't travel that far east in our remodeling projects very often. But you take McKellops eastbound off the 202, and you reach this saddle that gives you a panorama of Usury Mountain and the Superstitions that absolutely takes your breath away. So I find the house, and I suspect by the lot orientation and everything, they've probably got a pretty good view of this in their house. I knock on the door, they open the door, and the first thing you see is a perfectly framed picture of the Superstition Mountains in this picture window, both out the family room and the living room and the master bedroom. It is the kind of view you walk in and you almost forget your manners. You're just caught staring out this view. And I thought, how did you get this lot? And they said, well, 20 years ago, we were driving up to go camping, and there was a little real estate trailer parked here, and we just knocked on the door, and somebody answered, and they hadn't sold any lots yet. They were going to give us our first choice. 20 years ago, we bought this lot. And I said, well, you sure picked the lot of all lots. It's absolutely gorgeous. Now, they were dealing with rock squirrels and roof rats and they were addressing the show that we had last Saturday. And they did some research online, and they found that they could order coyote and bobcat urine that they say they can't smell. It's not offensive. And they put these urine canisters out in the backyard, and it totally eliminated the roof rats and the rock squirrels from their yard. Now, Romy, I've got a question for you. Inquiring minds want to know. How much does a person get paid to collect bobcat urine, and how do they do that?
I would guess it's a venture of a zookeeper.
That's
a secondary responsibility.
I mean, it's not like going to the doctor and they ask you to collect this sample. You hand it to the bobcat and say, could you just fill this and bring it back to me, please? Can you imagine fighting a bobcat to try and get it to hit a little beaker?
So, where was this home?
It was in the general area of McKellops and Ellsworth.
Okay,
absolutely gorgeous.
We had our, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. Our rodeo was at P&M Arena on Brown, and I think it was close to Ironwood, and. Tell you what, we found a great little steakhouse out there.
Okay.
Dirt Springs Restaurant.
That's the name of it? Dirt Springs?
great little local joint. Okay. Talk about how to they cook the steak when you say medium rare. It was perfect medium rare. But
good.
You are right there. You've got a perfect view of the Superstitions and Usury Mountain. And that was the only time I've spent an extensive 2 days right in that area.
It's nice.
It's a beautiful view.
So the second part of that conversation, and I want to hear from all of you homeowners, I'm taking a poll. This same family talked about the fact that they do find about 6 scorpions a year inside their house. And one of the parts of the remodel is they wanted to get rid of all the carpeting.
The coyote urine didn't help the scorpions?
And it didn't help the scorpions. And they're only finding 6 a year, so it's not like a serious problem. Mm-hmm. But they do say they have to go outside with the blue light and hunt them mm-hmm. regularly, and they can kill 2 or 3 in the backyard virtually every day. So they say in their house they've never found a scorpion on the carpeting. So they asked me, Rosie, if we rip out all the floor covering and go just to solid surfaces, we only find the scorpions on the solid surfaces. Does that mean they're going to be more prone to be in our bedroom than now that we have carpet and we're not finding them. So I have found them in my house on both floor surfaces. But I want to talk to you, Arizona homeowners, that have experience with scorpion infestation. I wouldn't say 6 years of infestation, but those of you who have had to deal with it, do you find them on the carpet as more, less, or the same as you find them on the hard surfaces in your house? We talked about a method of scorpion eradication in the 7 o'clock hour, and we've actually had Twitter, oh, what is it?
Oh, this one was Facebook.
Facebook. She came in by Facebook, and she said, I need to hear that scorpion solution again. So I'm going to go over the scorpion solution again. We've got Larry on hold, John on hold. We're going to take their calls, and then we're going to get into integrated pest management. So scorpion control a la the Cajun carpenters.
And in most cities, this isn't legal.
If in your neighborhood you are allowed to have chickens, then you can also have guineas. All right? Yes, no, you don't think?
I think guineas is a separate classification. They're much different. Because you can have chickens, but not a rooster.
I would just call them a chicken.
If roosters aren't allowed, guineas aren't going to be allowed.
If you can buy guineas and put them in your yard, they love to eat scorpions. Okay? A doctor from Mississippi taught me this when he moved to Pinnacle Peak in 1969. And he had a whole flock of guineas. And they are noisy. But they do devour the scorpions. And when you've got the scorpion population under control, let me give you a Cajun cuisine tip. Guineas make great gumbo. Now, that's the perfect food cycle right there.